Well, I'm proud to welcome Mark Cassie to Racetrackers. Good afternoon, Mark.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for joining Mike Monroe and I. We wanted to speak to you and congratulate you on your big weekend last weekend. But before we do so, I'm sure you don't need any introduction to our racing fans, but we'll do it anyway. And you've had a long career, and you've been in the Canadian Training Hall of Fame, Racing Hall of Fame, and you've won the Top Trainer Award in Canada 9 times, and you've just had a consistent career training horses, and each year seems to be better for you than the next, than the last, rather.
Well, thank you, and we have been fortunate, and that is our goal, always try to be a little better than the year before.
Well, we know you come from a racing family, and you've been in the game for a long time, and you operate on many fronts. But for our purposes, this time of year, it seems like Keeneland has become a wonderful spot for you, especially the fall meet.
You know, it's something that we definitely focus on because we love winning races. We have horses everywhere, but as probably every other trainer is, our focus throughout the year is trying to get to the Breeders' Cup, and we've found that Keeneland is a great place to, you know, to get a race right before for the Breeders' Cup. It's worked for us for the last couple of years, and when something works, you stick with it.
Well, Michael will agree with me. You know, we have people who watch statistics so closely, and your statistics with 2-year-olds at the fall Keeneland meet is really off the charts. It seems like you have all of your 2-year-olds blossom around this time of year.
Well, I hope, and there is a plan and a reason for that. Normally, when we're out buying our young horses, we're always trying to buy horses that we feel like are going to want to run long and run 2 turns. And everything we do is trying to prepare them for that. And Keeneland is really the first place where they start running 2-turn 2-year-old races. So that's one part of it, you know, except for on the grass. And so we kind of, that's kind of by design. It's by design. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Well, you do point out, and Mike, I want your opinion on this. You do point out a glaring problem in New York racing for 2-year-olds, and that if they go 2 turns, you know, at Belmont, it's impossible, and at Saratoga, even Saratoga, it's a taxing mile and an eighth. There really is no ability to try 2 turns, as you say, with young horses other than on the grass, and that pushes a lot of horses to the grass, where you've had some success as well.
Yeah, I you know what? I think you've hit on a serious problem. It's one of the reasons why you will never see us in a big way in New York. I would love to see them at Saratoga, maybe do similar to what Keeneland's done and Oaklawn's done, and maybe have a second wire. And where they could run some races that aren't a mile and an eighth, you know, maybe a mile and a 16th. And then maybe that would allow them to run some 2-year-old races, 2 turns. Obviously at Belmont, and I think that's a big disadvantage to them, that they, because of the large racetrack, they can't run 2 turns. So that is, you know, that is a problem. I find it amazing, for instance, on Saturday, I was trying to get a good read on how good the Frisette was. And because the only way to do it is to compare it from other races that run that day. And I mean, it's pretty sad when there's only 3 dirt races run on a Sunday at Belmont, so there was really not a whole lot to compare it with. So it was very hard to get a true read on the Frisette. And I think that's becoming more of a everyday occurrence. And I think that's disappointing.
I think they're definitely running too many turf races, Mark, and they have to change it around, because with these small fields with the dirt, you know, you're eliminating the amount of horses to go in. And it's like you just said, you know, with a trainer with a big you know, a big stable such as yours, where you have a lot of horses that are eligible for similar conditions, you don't want to wind up having to run your horses in the same spots, and it's a difficult thing as a trainer.
Well, you see me, you know what I'm doing, and the difference between us and a lot of other people, we have a very large operation, so it allows us to move horses. But, you know, a guy that's based in New York, he's stuck there a lot of times. We also now, send a lot of horses to Woodbine for that same reason. And I think, I always feel like going into the Breeders' Cup that we have a big advantage in that with those two-turn races. Last year, we nearly won the Breeders' Cup Philly race with Val Dorna, and she had just broke her maiden at Keeneland, but she had the two-turn race. Nobody knows, and I don't know, nobody knows how a horse is going to react to two turns. It's just an entirely different run race than, say, a mile for the Frisette and then going two turns. It's a huge difference. Some horses handle it, some don't. You just don't know. And I have a filly called Wonder Gaudette, who is named after Wonder Woman, and she's going to run in the Breeders' Cup dirt. She has never run on the dirt, but I specifically left her at Woodbine because I ran her in the Mazarine last week. She won very impressively, but it gave us the chance for her to run two turns, and I thought that was important. We're going to run Geo Game, who broke her maiden opening day at Keeneland. We're going to run her in the Breeders' Cup Philly race as well, and, of course, Heavenly Love. So all three of our fillies have all had two-turn experience, which I think is important.
Well, I guess as an aside, if you win the Breeders' Cup race with Wonder Gaudette, maybe you can get the actress to do a spot with your horse, because we saw her on Saturday Night Live. That was my first experience seeing her, and she seemed delightful.
I don't know what's going to happen, but you're not the first person that has brought that up. So maybe we'll get fortunate. Maybe we'll be lucky. She'll come out to see her namesake.
That'd be great. Speaking of Canada and speaking of Breeders' Cup, World Approval just ran a huge race, and I guess there was much speculation in the handicapping world as to whether or not he moved up on a yielding track and whether he was as effective on a firm going, and he showed a different dimension by winning on the front end. You have to be happy with how he's coming into the Breeders' Cup.
Oh, extremely happy, and I think – this is our belief. I was a little concerned a little bit with Woodbine, because Woodbine's such a different type of turf. And I've always said he likes a target. Of course, he didn't get a target. I think his race was really good. If you look, they went the first quarter kind of slow, but the second quarter was extremely fast. And anybody that was near him ended up nowhere in the race. Through that second quarter, I thought he kicked on well, but he loves, I think he will love the short turn Del Mar turf course. He scoots around turns. He loves it. And he has this quick acceleration around turns. And I think that'll be a big advantage to him. And I think that's where it's going to hurt the Europeans. I think, if we were having that same race ran at Keeneland, for instance, the Europeans would have a much better shot. But I think if World Approval can continue to hold his form and run the way he's run his last two times, I think everybody has to beat him.
And it's you seem to think he's as good on the firm grass as he is on the yielding?
I don't think it matters to him.
Okay, that's great.
I mean, he ran – it doesn't get a whole much firmer than Gulfstream Park. And, you know, his form there has been very good as well. So, I'm not concerned with that.
You won a knockdown drag out battle with Flame Away in the, Dixiana Bourbon Stakes, which for our listeners who have maybe didn't see it, it was on the grass and came off the grass, and it was run over a muddy track, and it was a slugfest through the lane with horses bouncing off each other. You had to be sweating that out in the last few minutes, and then foul claims against everyone. I guess the good news was, I think if I have this right, it was a win and you're in race, but then it became up to the discretion of the Breeders' Cup because it came off the grass, and now they've decided to treat it as a win and you're in race?
Yes. You know, all morning there and afternoon that was discussed that, you know, they were thinking about taking the race off the grass. I wanted to run him on the grass so bad, but I think their decision to take it off, it was getting where it could have been dangerous. And then they said, well, there's a shot that there'll be no win and you're in. And I thought that was kind of unfortunate because so many horses, we don't get that many opportunities. And like I could have easily have ran Flame Away that day in Toronto in the Cup and Saucer for $250,000. But one of the reasons I brought him there was for the win and you're in. So that was disappointing. I think in the end, though, the Breeders' Cup was probably surprised. One, they kept it was the craziest thing. I scratched a horse out of the race early because I wanted to run him on the turf and ended up another horse drew in. It was a full field.
Right.
So, I mean, how many times do you see a race come off the, you know, off the grass and still be a full field? And that's probably why the Breeders' Cup decided to leave it be.
Well, and I guess the Alcibiades, you had the privilege of running first and third in that, and with two fillies that I guess are heading on, you hope, to the Breeders' Cup?
Well, now, Heavenly Love is going to the Breeders' Cup. Dancing is not. I would, okay. if she would qualify, which she won't, I would have probably run Dancing in the grass race, Breeders' Cup grass. She's extremely talented, and we've been kind of waiting to get her on the grass, and that'll probably be her next start somewhere on the grass. But yeah, she's not going. She's not going to the Breeders' Cup.
Okay. Speaking of the grass, Mark, you have a very strong 1-2 punch in this weekend's Queen Elizabeth Challenge at Keeneland. I'm very interested in La Coronel in there, who absolutely seems to have a fondness for the Keeneland turf course being 2-for-2. But it was nice to see Dream Dancer regain her form last time out in Del Mar in the Del Mar Oaks, which was a very impressive race for anyone who watched. And, you know, made a nice six wide move into the stretch and really came running late.
I agree with you, Mike. The thing is about Keeneland, it's an interesting turf course. Some horses will handle it and some won't. So you always like to, it's nice to know, like a filly like La Coronel, she loves it. And
yes.
Even Dream Dancing, the time she's run on it, she ran on it, she had an excuse, or I think she would have ran better. If you talk about Dream Dancing's race out at Del Mar, I thought that was, she's a little bit of a difficult filly to ride. Julian felt like the previous start, he rode her badly, and he knows her now, she has just a very short run. And if you don't time it correctly, she'll run up and she'll kind of, stop the last part of it. So you really got to time her run. So with La Cornell's been funny. She went to England and she handled all that fine. But since we came back, she's just been a nervous wreck. In both of her two races, she lost it in the paddock at Saratoga, which I thought maybe came from anybody that's been to Saratoga. On a crowded day, we have to walk about an eighth of a mile with people
right.
on both sides, and they're screaming and yelling. And a lot of horses get upset by that, and it really bothered her. So I thought, well, maybe that was it. And then again, even at Belmont, and we had schooled her, she got, you know, fairly upset there. I think the key to her is, and we've been schooling her, hopefully, she is her keeping her composure. She's extremely talented, but I mean, this is a heck of a race.
She ran a winning race last time, and to get beat by a filly that she runs against again on Saturday, Uni. Mm-hmm. I mean, she ran a credible race. I really didn't think she was going to get caught that day. She ran so well, Mark.
Well, yeah, Mark, she did run a good race. I agree, and hopefully she's a little better horse. Third time off a layoff. Maybe I'm just hoping that she behaves herself a little better in the paddocks and post-race.
I have to ask you, Mark, about one other horse that you run at Keeneland on Saturday, because I actually followed this horse in his first race at Kentucky Downs, and he had a bit of a tough trip and looked like a two-year-old that with a lot of promise. And I know you're switching from turf to dirt. It was a yielding course that day, but I was very interested in Royal Creed.
Royal Creed running him down on the grass at Kentucky Downs was just a bit of an experiment. One, it's so hard to pass up $135,000 maiden race.
Right.
So we gave it a try. He had a bit of a rough trip. Our feeling is that he's superior on the dirt, though.
Right.
He was well bet
his first time, well backed his first time.
Well, that's because he had trained so well, but he had trained really well on the dirt. So a few people asked me, in fact, including Mr. Oxley, who owns him, he said, what do you think about him on the grass? I said, I don't have a clue.
Right.
But I figured there's 135,000.
Really I watched him play several times.
I said, there's a $135,000 reason to give it a try.
Exactly.
And we have found, and you can, if you look over the last few years, Kentucky Downs is a wonderful place to leg up a horse. Everybody, when you run 3/4 of a mile at Kentucky Downs, it's like running a mile anywhere else. Case in point, Heavenly Love. I thought when Heavenly Love, I almost didn't run Heavenly Love on the grass at Kentucky Downs. In fact, David Carroll had to convince me to do it. I said to him, my assistant, I said, David, she's trained so darn good on the dirt. Why don't we just wait 2 weeks and we'll run her on the dirt opening day at Churchill, and we'll do the Valdorna deal, where last year we ran Valdorna opening day at Churchill. Then we came back, she broke her maiden opening day, and then, of course, was second in the Breeders' Cup. And then we talked about it, and I said, you know what, if she wins impressively, maybe we go back in the Alcibiades. And if you watch her race, it was amazing. But that Kentucky Downs race, really, condition-wise, made her much stronger for the Alcibiades. So we love using Kentucky Downs just for that reason. And I think with Royal Creed, that should really set him up nicely.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely watch him. And, you know, I got to tell you, Mark, our Sharpies, that Bill could elaborate more on it, but our Sharpies came up with your two first-time starters the other day, last Saturday at Keeneland. They both ran very, very well. But our Sharpies came up and told us the one in the last race was better than the earlier one.
Well, you know what? I don't know who the Sharpies were, but I think that, one, buyer-wise, the first horse got a better number. If you had asked me, and some people did, and I gave them that answer, who was going to, you know, who had the best shot to win, I told them Curlin's Honor. And it was more because of the post position.
Yep.
Then, unfortunately, for Conquistador, we were put in a situation where, and it's something that I despise doing. I like my horses to stay up close, but I don't like to send them. And I knew from the one hole we were going to have to come away from there running. And I thought that race was a tough race. I thought there were a couple horses in there. I thought the Conquistador race was much tougher than the Curlin's Honor race. So I did a few interviews that day, and one somebody asked me, well, which one do you like? I said, well, they're pretty equal in abilities at this point in time, but I said, I like the post position better than Curlin for Curlin's Honor. Now, Curlin's Honor, obviously he's by Curlin, he's going to go on, and the farther they run, the better he's going to like it. The one thing that Conquistador has to him, we were able to get Curlin's Honor pretty tight, muscle wise and everything. Conquistador still looks like a kid, a teenage kid that still has some baby fat on him. And I think with that race, you're going to see him become more of a man, where Curlin's Honor has already become a young man. Conquistador is still a kid.
Well, I thought it was an extremely confident ride on Curlin's Honor.
Yes.
He looked like that horse outside him kind of surprised him a little bit. I thought he had him measured the whole way. And I guess the world has changed now. And I was watching at Belmont, and Belmont has the races on television, on high def, and also on the computer. And I guess they're all about 3 or 4 seconds different than anybody else. And I was rooting hard for Curlin's Honor because we had talked about him on the show. And unbeknownst to me, the race was already over in the last 70 yards. So people were laughing at me because it was already done when you watched it on the live television. But I thought that was an incredibly confident ride.
It's funny you should say that, because my wife and I was about 2 years ago. We were at Keeneland and we had a filly called My Conquistador, and she was running in the Summer Stakes. Well, we're watching it on our iPad, and and everybody else is watching it on the TV, and my wife and I are screaming for her to get to win. Meanwhile, everybody around us, the race had been over for 30 seconds. So they were all just watching us because we had no idea. So I know what you were feeling.
Well, you speak of Mike and Keith Dodori, and that brings up, and you mentioned your long relationship with John and Debbie Oxley, which is wonderful. But I see, you've gone through some of the biggest owners in the game, but had some of the biggest owners in the game. And Mike and I remember, for our younger listeners, they may not, but Mike and I remember Harry Mangurian, which was
absolutely just a
huge name in the game at one point. And Eugene Melnick, of course, has been a big game. And you had Conquest Stable. So you've managed to go through a number of iterations and continue to grow.
I hope when you say I've been through them, I hope you don't. I think it's Mr. Mangurian. So much of what I have today, I owe to him, because he was the smartest man I've ever been around, and I learned so much from him. A lot of people don't realize. And I was just saying, one, we just moved, not long ago, we just moved in. We're now 9th all-time leading trainer in North America, which I'm very proud of. I think we just went ahead of Mandela. But for about 8 years or so, I pretty well gave up, for 10 years, I gave up training. So I've been training for 37 years, but of those, about 10 of those years, I actually was the general manager for Mockingbird Farm, which was Harry Mangurian. And I enjoyed that. I made more money doing that, but training horses has always been my love. And then of course Melnick, who is he's now totally out of the business. So that's true about that. I tell you, Mr. Oxley has been you won't find a more wonderful man, both the Oxleys, Debbie and John. But I tell you where I'm very proud of, and I think you're getting ready to see some big, big things. You're already seeing them, but is Live Oak. Live Oak is... We have 3 horses for them in the Breeders' Cup this year, and they have some young horses. They have a very strong, stable building, and I think you're going to hear a lot about them in the next few years.
That's great, because they've always been such a mainstay, especially in New York. And like when Bill and I, you know, talking about the Mangorians and other people, I mean, how could you go without mentioning Live Oak and all the good runners they've had throughout the years? And that's great, Mark, to hear that, you know, that they're doing well and going to be a mainstay in the game again, and their horses are all running well.
I don't think they, you know, and I don't get me wrong, I don't think they ever went away. Mrs. Weber has been a strong factor for years, but I believe, looking at, I know what we have sitting at the farm, and what we have as far as our older horses, I think you're going to see some big things. We have a little horse, you're going to get to see him. You're going to see him in about 2 weeks in New York, that I think he has the potential to be any kind. His name's Super Tappet. He's by Tappet, of course. He broke his maiden last year down in the fairgrounds going long first time. If you watched him run, how he won is unbelievable. And then he had some issues. He got hurt in a race. I think it ran him in the Lexington, and he grabbed himself really badly. But his last start, he ran a 95 buyer, won the stake in Toronto, which was a couple months ago, and beat a horse called Channel Maker and beat him soundly. Channel Maker's a pretty good horse. He just ran a couple weeks ago in New York. I think he was fifth in the Beach Patrol. But anyways, this horse is a phenomenal horse on the grass. I'm going to bring him and run him in the English Channel, I think it is, in New York. I think he's got a really bright future.
I don't remember, Mark, if you mentioned it, but will we see Awesome Slew in the Dirt Mile this year?
Yes, yes. Oh. Yes, you will.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. He always tries hard.
I'm sorry?
He always tries hard, and his Forgo was a bang up race to DeFrong. I like the way, you know, that he's going to be set up towards the Breeders' Cup. And like,
well,
I said,
we brought him back. We wanted to try to get some confidence in him, so we decided to forego some of the big money, and we went to the AC-AC instead. And I thought his AC-AC race was very good.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't speak about two fan favorites who you've trained, Classic Empire and Teppan, of course. Teppan was legendary, even to the point where, you know, people shed tears when she ran. She's off to retirement. But Classic Empire, what are his plans?
There's going to be some big announcements here anytime now, so I'm just going to really say nothing at this point in time
about
him.
Okay.
So I just got to leave it at that. And
yeah, sure.
Like I said, you'll be reading about him here soon.
Well, Mark, we know it's a racing day today. We want to let you get out there, and we're so happy that you joined us. I can't thank you enough, and we hope you'll come back and you know we'll anytime, and we'll follow your horses as closely as we do, and as Mike said, all the distinctive colors of Live Oak and the Oxleys are just always a pleasure to see, and we're so happy that you joined us.
Well, thanks for having me. I hope you want me back. That would mean that something good happened, more than likely. So,
we'd like to have you back the Thursday, right after the November 3rd and 4th Breeders' Cup. We'd love to have you on, and hopefully for congratulatory reasons.
Hey, I'm all for that. Okay,
Mark. You know what, Mark? One of the things we're proud about on this show is that we always ask people to come on, and they say they can come on for a few minutes, and we always keep them. They always stay longer. So that's
I've
a great
that.
Compliment to Mike and I.
But
we're careful not to abuse it, because
I love the game. You know, it's been my life forever. My father, who's passed away now, said, if it doesn't win you know nothing about it. And that's true. So anytime people want to talk horses, I'm always happy to do that. And I'm very proud of our horses. I'm proud of our team, and hey, I can talk all day about them. I never get tired of that.
we've also brought a lot of luck to our guest, Mark. So I hope it shines upon you. You get the racetracker's luck coming on you now.
All right. Well, we may be talking every week. Okay.
You got it. Very good. Us, Mark.
Have a great day, guys.
Thank you. Mark Cassie, everyone. Thank you so much, Mark.
Bye.